going to talk today. It's a Wednesday. It's a good day for talking. It's going to be pretty damn good. Those two are going to look forward to that. It's going to be nice and fair also.
And now, here's Bill Benega.
All around great flipping day. That's what it's going
to
be right here.
You're Bill Benega talking to you, friends and neighbors, network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Thanks for joining me today. The big thing in the news is they're having riots in Anaheim. In Anaheim? This is Disneyland.
This is Talkin' Street. With Bill Benega. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Website.
Caps campaign said that the challenge was not for the disclosure of 1 year, but for every year since he has been in public office. We realize this and all know has bigger things to worry about than in his campaign, such as the IRS suing the federal tax court for avoiding $4.2 million he owes in back taxes from 2006 to 2008, and for making improper deductions for his country club membership, or remodeling other personal expenses, the Caps campaign said, as you can imagine. By our count, he has at least 4.2 million other things on his mind besides his campaign. Malo responded to KSBY on Monday, explaining that he filed for an extension for his 2011 tax returns and was asking the IRS to provide him copies of previous years. As he had been reported, the Malo family farming business engaged in a dispute with the IRS regarding the period of time which certain deductions were taken in the past year, as Malo went on to KSBY. Pending the resolution of that dispute, Mr. Malo has filed an extension for his 2011 return. In the interest of public disclosure, Mr. Malo has filed a public financial disclosure form 700 in the state of California for every year he's been in the office going back to 1994. So this is one of the issues that when it comes to politics. It's like, you know, what? Okay, so what? He's got a lot of money. He's a guy that's running for Republican office of the president, and he's got a lot of money, too. Okay. A controversial law conveyance project designed to transport more fresh water from the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta has changed form, but it remains the bane of conservation groups and a number of major agricultural interests. The Delta provides water for the Safe Water Project, which is planned to supply several San Luis Obispo County areas. The federal state plan called the Bay Delta Conservation Plan is being unveiled today in Sacramento. It already has been criticized by interests fearful that current water supplies will be compromised. What was once a plan for an overland canal, known as the Peripheral Canal, the idea is now to transport water around the estuary to huge underground tunnels, as we had talked about yesterday. Consumer environmental sport and commercial fishing operations and farm bureau will protest the plan along with lawmakers from both parties. The plan will include 235-mile-long tunnels from Sacramento River moving water to pumps south of Tracy. The idea is to prevent removal of water directly from the Delta, which often compromises both water quality and the health of the Delta fisheries. KCBX announced that they no longer plan to air the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors meeting. And this is a letter to the Board of Supervisors. And this is kind of interesting to tell you the truth. We'll tell you more about it. I'll tell you more about it as soon as it appears. If it's ever going to. Okay. Be patient. I had to learn to be patient. Be patient with me. In the letter, KCBX General Manager Frank Manzone said the station would no longer carry board meetings after July 31st. However, county staff negotiated a tentative agreement with KCBX to continue broadcasting meetings through the end of the year. Through a grant, the county pays KCBX, which has carried the board meetings for 30 years, $28,500 a year. Paul Sievers, the KCBX development director, said that things have changed in the past 30 years, with board meetings now being available on cable TV. We also now cover three counties, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Monterey, he said, so it's not relevant programming to a large portion of our audience. Interrupting a normal weekday isn't a great radio program. We've got a lot of comments during our pledge drive. We lose listenership we would like to regain, he said. And that's possible. That's possible. I think Dodger baseball. Right? A lot of people love it. A lot of people don't. That's the way it works. We mentioned the Newark County Administrator yesterday, and so that's what's going on calculusnews.com. You can join them anytime 24/7. Just go to calculusnews.com and see what's new. Up right hand corner, top of the sheet, you can click on that, and we're streaming every day and every day. And also, there's podcasts and other shows that we've done, and you're invited to listen to those.
Calculusnews.com on KYNS, your news station.
That's us right there. Right. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was a little abrupt. Hey, get a little abrupt there, Bill. Hey, try to be gentle. Be gentle if you can. I have some things that I brought up here that I want to share with you. Well, remember yesterday, this is not the end of the world. It's no big deal. It's not, you know, it doesn't really matter at all, quite frankly. But there was some big thing with the Jackson family going on yesterday, so I could not access the vehicle. I don't know what that was about, but I have it today.
Weird, super, not as sounds you want to
These girls.
I said it's a visual commercial.
Make the most of your network with Verizon. Or 4G LTE coverage in all other networks per month.
Most incredible of all, the 1970s were called after a stumble ensued between Janet and Paris. Janet and Randy allegedly burst into the gates of Catherine's home. This surveillance video shows Janet Jackson, apparently trying to snatch Paris' cell phone. Unbelievable. That cell phone is Paris' lifeline to the world. She's been tweeting the world about her grandmother being missing. AJ Nambler, what do you make of this? It's astounding. Well, look what she's saying. 9 days in county.
Yeah. It's particularly astounding that Janet Jackson is so involved here.
That's more than I care about. So she was found in Tennessee with other relatives, and that's enough of that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'm going to do it again. I can tell you that. All right, other things are going on today.
Our world, a slow parking suit moves to mediation. Lawyers for the city's Homeless Alliance are set to meet with Judge again today and talk about how they'll proceed. So lawyers for the Homeless Alliance, which filed a suit against the city as well as city attorneys, met with Judge Crandall on Tuesday to discuss how to proceed after he issued an injunction stopping citations by police against the homeless on the public. His action was a response to the lawsuit by the Homeless Alliance that contended the city's ban was unconstitutional. That, of course, was filed by Sue Jenkins and Sara Rizzo. Anyway, so what they're trying to do now is they're trying to say, okay, let's see if we can somehow negotiate some kind of a compromise. What the people, the Homeless Alliance, is saying is, why don't you do what Santa Barbara does? They have, 123 parking lots or whatever that is, and they open up to the public, and let them sleep at night. Well, maybe I did. Maybe I'm sorry. I apologize. I read this today, and then I saw it on Calcos News, and I thought I had already talked about it, but I didn't. Dan Bakshi, I hope I have you say his name, assistant county administrative officer for the past 2.5 years, was given the county's top job Tuesday afternoon by a unanimous vote of the county board of supervisors. And so he's going to take over from Jim Grant, who, I like Jim Grant. I've always liked Jim Grant. He was a delight to work with when he was with the Office of Emergency Services and everything. The guy's got his head squarely on his shoulders until the very end. And then he says, well, maybe you have to have a permit in order to speak out against us and be on county property. Say, what? Where did that come from? What were you thinking? All right. Now, this is interesting. Again, we had this long discussion on Monday, Mike and I, and here's another Mike that's going to join in and have his point of view heard. And let's hear what he has to say, and then we'll talk about it. This is Michael Moore.
Microphone in Aurora the other night, and he's such a great guy. I mean, he's the heart that he has, the things that he said were so powerful. And yet, when he brought his own children into it, when he said, my two daughters go to the movies, and what if it were them? Well, I guess if President Obama is watching right now, and I say this with all due respect, what if it were them? What if it were them last Thursday night? Would you stand at the microphone the next day and say, I feel your pain, and, the existing gun laws, that's what he said, the existing laws are enough. Is that really what you'd say, Mr. President? I don't think so. And you and I and everybody, we have to see these children, these young people who were killed on Thursday night, Friday morning, we have to see them as our children. We as Americans, and this is really where the larger collective problem has to be fixed, we have to see that we're part of each other, and we have to take care of each other. The reason why they have universal health care in Canada and Britain, these other places, is because they believe if one suffers, everybody suffers. That is not our mentality. Our mentality is, I got mine, you get yours, and to hell with everybody else. At least that wasn't in that theater, I mean, that we have to stop this. We have to stop this attitude toward each other. We have to realize that those were our children who were killed there this past weekend. And if you treat it like that, man, I think if everybody honestly really felt that way, we would have some change in this country, and these politicians would respond quickly. If people would just rise up and say, damn it, this is not the America I'm going to live in. This is too great of a country to let this happen again. I am not going to let this happen again. And I am not going to come on another damn TV show either after the next one of these shootings, Pierce, because I haven't done it for 10 years. To be nice to you, and you're a good guy, and you made a good case to me to come on, but I'm sick of this. I refuse it. I refuse to live in a country like this, as I said and before. And I'm not leaving. So therefore, what am I going to do? It's got to change. And I invite Americans who feel the same way as I do, and I believe it's the majority, help me change this. Help everyone change this.
That was Michael Moore, interviewed by Piers Morgan. And very powerful, of course. I mean, no question about it. Let's continue this. This is Alan Dershowitz and John Lott discussing about the right to bear arms. So I thought it might be interesting to listen to.
That has nothing to do with liberty. My conception of liberty is not people taking arms and shooting presidents and shooting congressmen. That's a kind of totalitarian approach, a Stalinist approach to liberty. So there is no evidence that I'm aware of that guns protect liberty. There's no evidence that I'm aware of that guns reduce crime. And there's massive evidence that the easy availability of guns has a direct correlation and, I believe, causation with high murder rates in the United States. Also,
you know,
high suicide rates, high rates of accident, the likelihood that somebody in the family will be killed if there's a gun in the house is much higher than the likelihood that that person
that
will use the gun to protect
false.
His family.
You don't,
it's
look,
a myth.
You're
we
not
own
a
guns
statistician.
For phallic
you don't
reasons,
know what you're talking about.
Psychological reasons.
I have
Americans
to
like
to, his
to hold
on.
Guns
okay,
in
I'm,
their
I'm,
hands.
I'm
you haven't given
you
me a chance to finish my point.
Okay.
You've had all the time to respond. This is junk science at its worst. Paid for and financed by the National Rifle Association.
Take that
and
back.
No
the
one
NRA hasn't
it.
Paid for my research. That's simply ridiculous.
I'm not talking about yours.
You
I'm talking
no,
about
you
the
said,
research.
You said
that
my
is done
research.
And that you. No, I said the research that's
done. And you were talking about my
paid
research
for
being the junk
and
science.
Finance. Your conclusions are paid for and financed
that's my
by
conclusions
the
aren't paid for by anybody. Look. You look at
the
and there must
Rifle
be a lot of.
Let me
give.
I can't stand that. I don't know about you. I can't take it when everybody's all talking at once and going crazy. But anyway, so here's these different opinions about the whole thing. You know, when Mike and I, after we talked for 2 hours on Monday, we sort of reached a conclusion. I think that said, you know. It's like the horse is out of the barn. Not only is the horse out of the barn, the horse is 100 miles away from the barn at this point. There's that many guns out there. And that's what we've done with this country in the name of the Second Amendment. We've said, okay, people can have as many guns as they want and as much ammo as they want and everything else. The thing I think that's so disturbing is, and this is, we're not really able to come to grips with this very well, I don't think, is the fact that anybody at any time, anywhere, can do whatever they want whenever they want to do it. And there's no way to prevent that. You can't pre-guess what's going to happen. What's the name of that crazy movie with Tom Cruise? You can't pre-guess it. You know, you don't know what's going to happen or what somebody's going to do. And so you have to ask yourself, so what things are you going to deny the public to say you can't have this, 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 and this, and this, and this, you know, but you can have this, these other things. I'm not saying that we'd be a lot better off with fewer guns, but that's the point is moot. I mean, it's just moot. There's a mazillion guns out there. That's the way it is. So sometimes these arguments to me get kind of, you know, crazy, but, you know, I'm glad that Mike and I had a chance to talk about it because I was trying to think of ways you could mitigate the guns that are sold and all this other stuff, and it's too late for that. It's just too late. There's just, you know, if you want to get on that side of an argument and say, well, we have to prevent something, we have to do something and prevent this, I don't think it's preventable in any way, shape, or form. I do not think that people that are bent on murdering a number of people are stoppable. I guess the blessing of this is, if there's such a thing, is the fact that, you know, there's only so many of them. know, that they reared their heads only so often. I mean, that's the best you can hope for, I think. And so you have this argument, you know, where people are saying, well, you're just giving lip service to this, you're just giving lip service to that, you're just doing this. Lip service is all we got, to tell you the truth. And forget the NRA and forget anybody else that's involved. Lip service is really all we have. You know, this I feel your pain, I'm praying for you and everything, our thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, I love that expression, almost drives me insane. My thoughts and prayers are that I wasn't in that theater when that happened. That's what my thoughts and prayers are. Thank God I wasn't in that theater when it happens. And that's my opinion there. I'm going to, before we take our break, I'm going to do something. It's not spectacular, by the way. But I want to read, I'm going to read Leonard Pitt's column because I think it's worthwhile to listen to. And it reveals something I had no idea of right in the very beginning of what he has to say. A few words about the tragedy in Aurora, Colorado. In Dark Knight Triumphant, the second chapter of a four-part Batman graphic novel, which is an incident in which a googly-eyed, mentally disturbed young man with orange hair shoots up a movie theater. Three people are killed. That scene, published in 1986, carries a new and frightful resonance now. How could it not? Last week in Aurora, a goggle-eyed and perhaps mentally disturbed young man with orange hair allegedly shot up a theater playing a midnight showing of Batman The Dark Knight Rises. A dozen people were killed, 58 wounded. Life imitates art, imitating life. That graphic novel was a sensation for far beyond the comic book shops. Rolling Stone noted its bold thematic twist. The Los Angeles Times called it a vivid psychological study. The Washington Post praised its edgy realism. Writer and artist Frank Miller pictured an aged Batman coming out of retirement to save a Gotham that was overrun by a nihilistic terrorist. Batman's town had become a lawless place where the good people were cowed, mute by fear. It was a new take on the ancient central conceit of the American superhero, meaning the idea that we are watched over from the rooftops above by a man or woman with powers and abilities beyond those of immortal men and women, a capable somebody who will fight what we cannot. Look up in the sky. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's somebody who we will see that the bad thing doesn't happen and that the bad people get what's coming to them. Somebody who will just be just, and then things look hopeless, save us. Lord knows we could use some saving. Could have used it at Columbine, at Virginia Tech, could have used it in Tucson, could have used it in the last week in Aurora. You know what happened there, of course, how a man left the theater and returned through the exit door wearing body armor, how he threw smoke grenades, how he started shooting. In a place of escapism where the people had gone to enjoy the fantasy of a man who could fight what we cannot, hell broke loose and chaos reigned. As periodically they must, in a gun-besotted nation where the rights of each citizen to possess as many weapons of mass destruction as he or she wants is considered sacred and inviolable, how do we expect otherwise? We are all vulnerable, always, and yet vulnerability is not surrender. That awful night in Aurora, Jonathan Blank, I'm not going to say his name, and heroes died, this guy... A man by the name of Jonathan Blunk, a 26-year-old Navy veteran, shielded his girlfriend from bullets with his own body. He died. Matt McQuinn, 27, Alex Teves, 24, also shielded their girlfriends. They died, too. Stephanie Davis, 21 years old, dropped down on the floor where Allie Young, 19, was bleeding from a bullet wound to the neck. Allie told her to run, but Stephanie wouldn't. She stayed there, applying pressure to the wound even as the gunman kept shooting. Both young women survived. An instant called upon to be heroes, ordinary people in an ordinary suburb became exactly that. Frank Miller wrote about a vigilante who came back to save the people. We cannot know if that inspired the orange-haired man in Colorado, you will not hear his name mentioned here, to do what police say he did, or without his inspiration coming from something else and somewhere else, as equally as senseless. What we can know is that in the awful moment of decision, people covered one another, took care of one another, and saved one another. And it is the single hopeful note from the carnage of that evening, the one example worth holding and cherishing and carrying forward from this awful time, not least because it gives the lie to that central conceit of the American superhero myth. You see, heroes don't always come from above.
Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay Embarcadero has been totally remodeled. There's a new look throughout the restaurant, including a great bar area with plenty of room for you to hang. What I like the best is what the Dutchman's new Farva Table Chef has created, a new menu that features fresh seafood. It starts with hand-selected fish delivered right to our dock and served within hours of being pulled from the ocean. It's the only way to eat. At Dutchman Seafood House, you'll enjoy waterfront dining, creative cocktails, a nice selection of reasonably priced wines, and a tempting variety of entrees featuring seafood, poultry, beef, salads, and award-winning clam chowder that's guaranteed to satisfy your hunger. When you walk in the Dutchman, you'll find an inviting bar where weekdays we offer special happy hour pricing from 3 to 6. Formerly known as the Flying Dutchman, you'll find the newly remodeled Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Just like the Dodgers on the field, your car is a finely tuned machine. Keep your car running Dodger smooth at Black Road Auto. You can save money on all types of car repair, foreign and domestic. With over 20 years of experience in transmission and car repair, Black Road Auto has over 15 acres of classic and hard-to-find auto parts. When you need your car repaired, transmission service, or auto parts, think of Black Road Auto. Black Road Auto, 1500 Black Road, Santa Maria, or call them at 346-2770. That's 346-2770.
Jerry Butler today. We start off with For Your Precious Love. It is 24 now before 1 o'clock. Let me get to right away. Let me get to, where's my Spencer's? Spencer's. Let me get to Spencer's because you know what they have today? Now, this is the deal and a half if you're going to have lunch. 8 pieces of chicken for $5. An 8-piece chicken thingy for $5. Pretty cool, huh? I don't think it's a bucket. I think it's a different shaped container. But it doesn't matter.
is 8 pieces of fried chicken for just $5 at Spencer's Fresh Market today. And you're going to have that for lunch. Plus, you can have all the other. You can just go and have a boar's head sandwich made. You can just say, give me some of the meats and the cheeses and the thingies that you really love. And they'll do it for you, and they'll make you a great sandwich. And they have other good things, too. They have two for $3 cooked chicken leg quarters. They have German potato salad for $1.99 a pound, and theirs is excellent, I want you to know. Boar's head ham. They have Genio turkey breast. They just got the whole shebang right there for you. They have wild sockeye salmon fillets this week. They have cooked salad shrimp for just $5.99 a pound. Spencer's Own Swiss sausage, one of my favorite sausages of all time, is Swiss sausage. It's $3.69 a pound, and theirs is superb. Boneless pork shoulder butt roast is $1.99. Make yourself some carnitas with that. And they have beer and wine and great things. They have all the great Frank Bourget cakes. And then they have all the other great desserts. And then they have the great butcher department that will butcher things. And they grind their own hamburger. And it really makes a difference if you just trust me and taste it. You'll see. I know you're always going, I don't see how it could be any different. It is. Spencer's Fresh Markets at 4 locations on the Central Coast, San Luis Obispo, Morro Bay, Atascadero, and Santa Maria. It is. London gives security a whole new meaning. To understand the gargantuan security operation authorities have prepared for the Olympic Games that open here Friday, nearly twice as many military troops are on the streets here as Britain has deployed in Afghanistan, for starters. It helps to remember what happened the morning after London won the right to host these games 7 years ago. On July 7th in 2005, homegrown militants, you know how these things are, they're homegrown, they're there, detonated bombs in the city's underground subway and on a passenger bus, killing dozens in one of the worst terrorist attacks in the country's history. Not a single gun was involved. Just I tell you, not a single gun was involved. Then I have Jeff Powers, who went to Slow High, and he's in his third Olympics and going for the gold, so that's really kind of cool. Got a couple of kids, got twins, and a wife, and he's going to go and play water polo. Did I just say? Yeah, water polo. All right. This is the weirdest, one of the strangest obituaries in a way I've ever read. And the fact that usually you just say someone's passed away. We had like 3-4 people in the paper yesterday, and they just passed on, and they just said these people passed on. Sherman Hemsley died, and he was a guy on the Jeffersons, you know, which was an offshoot of Archie Bunker's thing. And what was that called? Yeah, Archie Bunker. And so it was a because he had made a guest appearance there, and then they eventually took it into a whole other series. And he was a successful businessman, but very prejudiced against white people, and as Archie Bunker was against everybody. And so, but they go on and on with, you know, this his character and how he portrayed it, and it's like, if you don't remember, there's no sense in going on about it in the paper to tell you what it was about. It's not going to work. That's all I'm saying right there. Now, here's a weird thing that happened. I have to tell you, I still watch America's Got Talent. I like America. I don't know why I never watch American Idol, but I like to watch America's Got Talent. I don't know. American Idol's everybody's singing. America's Got Talent, people are doing all kinds of weird stuff. Maybe that's why. You know, I mean, I like the kink. But so Sharon Osbourne tweeted that she basically said her tweet trailed off with it's because, oh, she said it's not the money. I'm not returning to the show. And it's because, and she didn't say anything. It's because dot, 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 dot. So nobody knows what's going on, especially the network. NBC is in NBC. NBC was going, what the heck is that? They didn't know about it. They know about it now, I guess. So anyway, so she said she's not returning next time. So I guess she's going to finish out this season, which is almost up anyway. So I'm not sure. Struggling to contain his anger, a Chicago judge Tuesday sentenced Oscar-winning Jennifer Hudson's former brother-in-law to life in prison for killing her mother, brother, and 7-year-old nephew in what prosecutors say was a fit of jealous rage. So he was given 3 consecutive life sentences and a day. This story was a little bit surprising to me today, and there's a new head of the NRC. Her name is Allison McFarlane. She weighed in on Yucca. She concedes that waste storage is an issue but doesn't support site in Nevada Desert. We have spent $8 billion on the Yucca Mountain Depository. $8 billion on the Yucca Mountain Depository. $8 billion. And so she's, her basic thing is Yucca Mountain is neither seismically nor volcanically stable. Really? But she said storage is an issue and said dry casks are an option to store used fuel perform very well. So let me say, if you think you have seismic problems underground in a storage area that would not pollute anything, should there be a tragedy of some kind, you know, an anomaly, here we have dry cask storage just sitting by the ocean at Diablo Canyon. And that's okay? I mean, that's okay? What sense does that make that that's okay? Why don't they put the dry casks in Yucca Mountain? Let's try that. If dry casks are so safe, then put them inside Yucca Mountain. It's really disappointing to find out this is the new head of the whole thing, and this is her opinion of it. That's absurd. It's absolutely. And the other thing that sort of gets to me, you know, I was going to do it down by the second, but I never got to it today. You know, remember I mentioned yesterday, I think it was, that the an aircraft carrier costs $25 million when it's at sea. A day, 25 minutes. So I was going to do the division, all that stuff, and say, okay, let me see how that works. And try to figure out if I even pay for all the taxes I will have paid in my entire life, if I pay for 1 second of a nuclear submarine to be at sea for 1 second. Not an aircraft carrier. 1 second. I don't think. I honestly don't think. So it's crazy, but that's what I'm telling you. And Greenland. Now remember, Greenland was named Greenland because the people that discovered Greenland and Iceland loved Iceland, but they didn't want other people to go there, so they called it Iceland and they called Greenland Greenland, even though Greenland sucked. But they wanted people to go there instead of going to Iceland. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that was the whole motivation behind the names. Well, here's the thing though. This is what happened on Greenland. They had this big, huge ice sheet on Greenland, and it melted in 4 days. And the scientists are going, say what? As everybody's saying about everything that's going on everywhere. I mean, look at China and the flooding they're having. But anyway, in 4 days, this ice sheet melted. And it's just unprecedented. Even Greenland's coldest and highest place, Summit Station, showed melting ice core records that happened in 1889 and occurs about once every 150 years. Well, it's happened already. It didn't wait 150 years. Decided to speed it up a little bit. Anyway. So it's really amazing. They show a picture of July 8th, and then they show a picture of July 12th. 97% of the sheet experienced thawing. So this whole ice sheet just melted in 4 days. So that's not normal. I've never been to Greenland, but I still know it's not normal. I just can feel it. All right. Other things going on today. The Obama administration moved Tuesday to streamline the development of large-scale solar projects on public lands by approving 17 vast tracts across the West that says has the highest power-generating potential and the fewest environmental impacts, which makes a lot of sense because if you've ever, ever, ever seen a map, you go look at a map and see how much territory, it's federal lands is what it is. It's public lands, but you can't go on them. It's owned by the military. So the amount of land that is owned by the military in California, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah is absolutely absurd. I mean, it's just insane how much land the government owns. You know, we pack the coast and then everything inland from, you know, the other side of California in is just, you know, all owned by the government. So to me, that's good news. If they're going to say, you know, there's not going to be a terrible amount of environmental impact on something, then fine. Let's go on with it then. Because there's no reason not to. You know, it would add a price that would add, what, probably $10,000. Is that about what it costs to solar your house? Is that a reasonable number, or is it more than that? But whatever. You know, maybe at some point it should be part of new construction. It just automatically happens. You know, you get solar panels on your roof. Solar is expected to make up 40% of PG's renewable portfolio by 2020. So it's a tiny part of our overall mix, but they hope to get there by 40%. Roughly 20% of retail electricity sales last year by California's three large investor-owned utilities, PG&E, San Diego Gas and Electric, and Southern California Edison, came from renewable power. So we are at 20%. We want to get to 40% by 2020, and hopefully more beyond that. The thing just sits up there shining all day long, you know. We should probably do something about it. Do something with it. It would make sense. Makes sense to me, but you know how I am. All right, let me see what else I have going on here I want to tell you about. Okay, here, this is, I know what this story is completely about, and I'm not even sure where it is. I just saw the headline, and I thought I'd play it after this, after they air this commercial.
Temperatures, we should reach our normal high of about 82 degrees.
Okay, yes, sir. Never mind. I'm just going to keep it down while this thing plays because you have to see it to understand anyway. But we're going to see what this is about. It says starving patient surgery without meds. The situation room. So I'm sure it's somewhere outside of our country, I would imagine, but I'm not entirely sure. So we'll find out next.
United States military just... discovered horrifying abuse at an Afghan hospital funded with millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars. Now members of Congress here in Washington are hearing directly from the witnesses about this huge scandal. We want to warn you about some of the pictures you might be seeing. They will be disturbing. Our Pentagon correspondent, Barbara Starr, has this report.
Not to us, they will be disturbing.
U.S. taxpayers spent more than $150 million in just 18 months here at the Kabul National Military Hospital, training Afghans to look after their wounded. Here is what that money bought.
If there are children watching, please have them turn away or ask to leave the room.
Wounded, starving Afghan patients.
They are exceptionally graphic.
Testifying before Congress, retired and still serving U.S. officers who say American generals knew but didn't want the bad news to get out. Congressman Jason Chaffetz quoted from testimony.
Colonel Carroza described the conditions as, quote, Auschwitz-like, end quote. Oftentimes, Afghan doctors and nurses would demand bribes in exchange for care. Those who could not afford to do so died in their hospital beds.
Surgeries with no painkillers and more.
The open vats of blood draining out of soldiers' wounds, the feces on the floor.
And for those tens of millions of dollars spent?
Medical supplies and equipment were hoarded, stored improperly, and misused.
Retired Colonel Skyler Geller told us weeks ago his staff saw unending corruption. He's now testified publicly.
We supply 100% of the fuel and food to the Afghan army, including the Daoud Khan Hospital, where it was routinely pilfered, enriching the criminal patronage networks.
The men alleged their boss, Lieutenant General William Caldwell, delayed an investigation worried it would look bad politically.
His first response to me was, how could we do this or make this request with elections coming? And then he made the shocking comment that he calls me Bill.
What does that mean?
Well, I took it as that he was referring to the President of the United States.
And that he had a personal relationship.
I don't know, Chairman, if he had a personal relationship, but the political pressure there was such that he made those statements.
You see Colonel Fassel there in a U.S. Army uniform. This is a colonel in the Army saying that a three-star general used the president's name to get out of having an immediate investigation of the situation at this hospital. General Caldwell has not publicly commented on this. Through his spokesman, he is saying he believes the allegations are false.
Of course he does. Anyway, and that's a little stir. I have to be honest with you. I didn't know it was going to be Afghanistan, and now that I heard that, I'm really kind of really upset. Okay, we're doing so well with our money. We're doing such good things. Keep throwing it out there. All right, court ruling could mean fewer insured. Law costs less. Budget Office issues new data on Obama's affordable health care. Congressional Budget Office said Tuesday that the Supreme Court decision on Barack Obama's health care overhaul will probably lead to an increase in the number of uninsured and a modest reduction in the cost of the federal government compared with estimates before the court ruling. What all this means is I don't know. Truthfully. The idea was, wasn't the uninsured were going to be insured? Wasn't that the idea, was to have more people insured? I thought that was the idea. So I'm not entirely sure I understand that. Okay. You can't understand all of them. You know, you do the best you can and you keep on going. Now, Anaheim city officials have agreed to ask federal authorities and the U.S. Attorney's Office to investigate the shootings that have caused these riots down there. But they were over the weekend, and so the riots have been continued ever since the beginning of the week. And they're trying to stem the tide of that. But it's again, it's weird. It's Anaheim. Anyhow. So they're going to check into that. You know who passed away? Chad Everett. Remember Chad Everett? You wouldn't remember if you looked at this picture they have, but Chad Everett, the blue-eyed star of the 1970s TV series Medical Center, went on to appear in such films as Mulholland Drive and Melrose Place TV shows. He died Tuesday at the age of 75 from lung cancer. I remember Chad Everett. Los Angeles County officials have approved a ballot initiative that will ask voters to decide whether porn actors should be required to wear condoms in sex scenes. The voters are going to decide that. Are you serious? This is Los LA County. So that's a big area, but you know, you can go to Palmdale or whatever. You don't have to stay in LA County to film a porn movie. They're going to ask the voters to decide this? Well, we hear weird things all the time. Let's admit it. We hear strangeness all the time, and it makes no sense. It just happened. I got to get this story about the bugs. It's been on here forever, but here's another tale to be told here.
Home to one of the busiest markets in northwest Syria. Now it's a bombed-out ghost town.
This bullet-riddled town is mostly deserted, except for rebels and a few shell-shocked residents. This street was...
Why do you do what you do?
Why do you put in the work?
You do what you do because it matters.
Because it's important.
Little things.
Big things.
Little things that add up to big things.
At HP, the things that matter to you
matter to us.
We don't just believe in the power of technology. We believe in the power of people when technology works for them.
To do the things that matter.
If you're going
to
do something, make it matter.
I have a really deep love of materials, just like materiality. One of the things that I've been working on is a whole sort of open garment collection. I really want to model this idea of like knowing what your stuff came from and where your stuff came from. I'm Dominic Murin, and I run a lab called the Humble Factory, sort of a design laboratory that develops tools that help support makers in their work around the world. Makers are this interesting group. They're very distributed, generally work in much smaller groups than traditional industry would. The key thing that they have in common is that they're all making things that industry can't or won't provide them with.
So let me give you some examples. Some of these things might seem trivial, right? This is a product made by Evil Mad Scientist Laboratories here in the States that is a pen plotter for eggs, right? And they sell actually quite a lot of them. Imagine trying to buy one of these at Best Buy. Probably not going to happen. Something maybe a little more grave or important is the Dodo case, developed by two makers in San Francisco through the tech shop in Palo Alto. This product, the Rolls Royce of iPad cases, apparently Obama even has one, this product single-handedly saved a 50-year-old bookbinding company in San Francisco and allowed them to add 10 new jobs at the height of the recession in 2008.
In the U.S. and in Europe, people are starting to realize that there's this opportunity, right, to make again. I think in the rest of the world, they're kind of like, well, it's funny that you all call this making. We've been doing this forever, right? And So that's one of the things that's so exciting for me, is the meeting of those two places. I think that's the fundamental thing behind the wonder in the maker movement, is this idea that, wow, the difference between nothing and something was me.
I know that when you hear the name Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, you immediately think of great flushing Toto toilets. Or maybe it's our state-of-the-art Growy kitchen and bath faucets. Or maybe it's those tiny massaging bubbles of a Jason Comfort Air Bath. But here's something you may not know. We have the most fabulous line of cabinet and door hardware on the Central Coast. Knobs and pulls created for whatever look you desire. Rustic, modern, craftsman, Asian, in durable, long-lasting finishes like Venetian bronze, brushed nickel, distressed copper, or even cloisonné. The choices are endless, the quality superb. You'll find that Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the county's widest selection of bathroom vanity cabinets in all types of designs. Roomy linen storage cabinets, beveled mirror medicine cabinets, and handcrafted wall mirrors. That's Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
They got the whole shebang right there, Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath. They have the nice stuff, too. So that's really nice. Here with Bill, Talk of Sheep, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS today. America's toughest sheriff testifies in racial profiling suit. Joe Arpaio, who's now, by the way, he's 80 years old, has enjoyed unparalleled popularity in his 20 years as the elected Maricopa County sheriff, known as Sheriff Joe. He's running for a sixth term, by the way. Anyway, so there's accusations that he was profiling, and he said actually that's not true, that whenever they went on these, quote, roundups, there was not aimed specifically at illegal immigrants. He doesn't say what exactly was aimed at. It's the only problem. So I don't know. I wish I could tell you. The plaintiffs aren't seeking money in the suit. They are seeking a declaration that Arpaio's office racially profiles Latinos and an order requiring policy changes. If Arpaio loses the case, he wouldn't face jail time or fines. If he wins, it would likely be severely undercut the government's case against him. So that's what we know about that. All right. Now, the city council in L.A. has decided to ban medical marijuana dispensaries and said, you know, because there's too much trouble with the federal government about medical marijuana, we just are not going to bother with it. So, therefore, it takes, you know, this whole issue of, was it Prop 25, and just says, oh, the heck with you. You know, it doesn't matter. It's really a shame. I mean, the federal government doesn't seem to be doing anything proactive, and they're not doing anything anyway, so they might as well discuss medical marijuana and come up with a solution to that, but they're not getting to that on the list at all. And so, like a lot of people in a lot of counties, everybody's saying, okay, we're just going to shut it down. We're just not going to have it. It just causes too much problem. And I have to say, I think it's really a shame for the people that can benefit from medical marijuana. I feel very bad for them that, you know, this whole thing is just they're in the midst of this tug of war that's not even being tugged very well, to tell you the truth, and that's the problem. The federal government has to get more actively involved in medical marijuana and its dispensaries and its distribution and all that before we're going to get anywhere. So it's another tough nut to crack, for sure. It's just about 1 o'clock. We're going to join CBS News live and find out what's happening in our world. Rainmaker, you owe
not done any better by anybody than Jerry Butler. I thought that was really good. I want to see what kind of headlines we got here. Make sure that something hasn't happened while we were not looking, because sometimes that does happen. And so I'm checking right now on CNN and see what they have to say. They're off and kicking. First 2012 Olympics contests begin. The opening ceremony for the 2012 Olympics is until Friday, but for some athletes, including the U.S. women's soccer team, the game started today. So there you are. They're going for a golden three-peat, too, by the way, because they'd be good. Let me see if I got a story here for you. They darn good. And the women's basketball team is very good also, by the way. Women are actually pretty good in the Olympics, you ever notice? They do things that no sane man would try.
For the players of the top-ranked women's soccer team in the world, they want nothing less than gold.
Everybody wants to cheer for a champion.
Abby Wambach is the second leading scorer in U.S. women's soccer history.
Americans appreciate winners, and we want to go out and do whatever we can to bring back gold for our country.
The U.S. women's team captured gold in 2004 and 2008. The current squad of 18 women includes many veterans, but also some fast-rising stars. One of the brightest is 23-year-old forward Alex Morgan. Her speed and skill have...
I confess, I think we played this yesterday. I'm hearing something I've heard before, so I'm gonna bail out of this. I apologize. I thought it was a new story, for gosh sakes. They had it up in the new thing, but, you know, they were just fooling with me again. All right. Other things going on. Celebrating the 1948 Olympians? Why? All right. This just in. Cal Ripken Jr.'s mom abducted and found. Let's find out what this says. Safe. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. After abduction. I'll tell you what this is about. The man who abducted the mother of Baltimore Orioles legend Cal Ripken Jr. from her Maryland home restrained the woman and appeared to have used her credit cards, a law enforcement official said Wednesday. But officials in Aberdeen, Maryland, say they are still looking for motives in the case and haven't found evidence of ransom demands or anything like that for Violet Ripken, the mother of one of baseball's most celebrated players. Ripken, 74, was safe and resting with relatives Wednesday after a nearly day-long ordeal, authorities said. Police in Aberdeen said a man with a gun showed up at her home between 7 and 8 in the morning Tuesday, then forced her in the vehicle and drove off. Again, pathetically sad right there, isn't he? But she's okay. That's a good news. She's okay. And then they mentioned on the news, Kim Jong-un, got married, apparently, to the woman that was doing the singing there during the news. So, hopefully she's like a person that says, you know, be nice to the people. But we don't know. Assad's wife isn't like that at all. But maybe she is. All right. 7 states fear hepatitis from a lab worker. Oh, good. And I told you about the Iceland thing. Yeah. Beijing coated mud from all the rain they've had. Dark night threats spur arrests. You know, yeah, got to have crazy people that are follow another crazy person that follow other crazy people. This is the... I'll tell you about this as soon as I can. 3 people who voiced threats during and after showings of the Dark Knight Rises in New England and the West have been arrested, authorities said. News of these incidents occurred in Maine, Arizona, California, emerged in the aftermath of last week's massacre in suburban Denver. As we already know what that happened. In Maine, state police stopped Timothy Curtois, who's 49, for speeding on Sunday and found an AK-47 assault weapon, 4 handguns, and several boxes of ammunition in his car. Police also discovered news clippings of the Colorado shooting. The man told police he attended the Batman film in Saco, Maine on Saturday with a loaded gun in his backpack and told authorities he was traveling to Derry, New Hampshire to shoot a former employer. Authorities found ammunition and other firearms. An Arizona man was arrested on charges of disorderly conduct and threatening and intimidating after creating a commotion at a showing of the film Friday night in Sierra Vista, the Cochise County Sheriff's Office said on its Facebook page. Michael William Borboa, 26, entered the theater intoxicated, carrying a large backpack, the office said. Authorities said he acted strangely and startled patrons during the film. In L.A., Authorities arrest a man at a theater in Norwalk on Sunday. The man, identified as Clark Tabor, uttered threats and made references to the Colorado shooting. He was arrested for making terrorist threats, and authorities found a backpack but did not find a weapon in it. They also went to his home and found nothing there. Court appearances fill these theories about Colorado shooting suspect. I think that's what the thing was when the guy appeared in court. I was going to call him the guy. He doesn't deserve more than the guy. I'm just going to leave it at that. 16 after 1 is our time right now. It's a pretty darn nice day, and we're going to have pretty moderate weather all week. And even in the North County, it looks like we're going to be in the 80s for, maybe. It might slip into the 90s, but it looks pretty good. Some worry that Fresno may be the next to go bankrupt. Investors are increasingly asking about the city's finances, Citigroup report says. And so we strongly disagree that Chapter 9 filing is losing its stigma, he said. Fresno leaders insist bankruptcy won't happen, although Mayor Ashley Swanigan months ago raised the specter of a declaration of fiscal emergency, preliminary step to possible bankruptcy filing. City Hall has since passed a new austere budget plan and sought to distance itself from Chapter 9. They're trying. I mean, they're trying. They're saying we're trying not to go under, but we can't guarantee anything. Okay? We're trying not to. Because you never know when you're going to go under. I have another story for you. This one's a tall tale right here.
Sure, he occasionally dresses up as Elvis, but is this the face of a serial prankster? You bet. Manny Perez pulled the prank some are calling the meanest ever.
So there's a truck getting towed, and it looks like it's coming at us when my wife's asleep. So we're going to see if it's scaring her.
Don't do it, Manny. Don't do it.
Manny, wake up, there's a truck! I'm sorry, it was funny. My truck. It was getting towed.
Manny's wife, Sabra, whacked his dash cam out of his hand. Coasters who watched the video feared the worst. I smell a divorce. But you guys are still happily married, right?
Yes, we are.
Others predicted bye-bye sex.
Well, I did make him sleep on the couch that night because I didn't want to report him for bad behavior, but...
Sabra says she didn't stay mad. She knows who she married.
They call me Manny the Maniac.
By day, he's a crane inspector in North Carolina, but in his spare time, he's posting pranks on Manny's channel and sending videos of himself to Ellen after she dared viewers to dance behind someone's back. That's Manny's 5-year-old son, who seems to be following in his father's footsteps if pinching Dad's nipples counts as a prank. Caden was in the back seat when Dad pulled the truck trick. Of course, this wasn't the first prank Manny has played on his wife. It was the fake mouse scare. Manny made a mouse out of a mitten and attached fishing line to it.
Manny, that is not funny.
And who could forget the incomparably juvenile snake in the toilet?
My wife is terrified of snakes.
So we put a rubber one in the bowl. A highway prank could have been worse. In the movie Out Cold, his buddies loaded a drunken Zach Galifianakis behind the wheel, then spun the car around and woke him up. Zach's reaction was more violent than Manny's wife swatting the camera. And to think they've only been married 6 years, life with Manny is going to be a scream. Jimmy Moe, CNN, New York.
Sorry. Help. The poor woman. Can you imagine? All right, other things going on. Why did I mark that? I don't understand why you even marked it. Okay, let's go on with what we're going on with. Philadelphia church official sentenced to 3 to 6 years sex abuse cover-up claims. The first U.S. church official convicted of covering up sex abuse claims against Roman Catholic priests was sentenced yesterday to 3 to 6 years in prison. He was defrocked, etc. He's serving a 2.5 to 5-year sentence for sexually assaulting an altar boy in church in 1999. He said, I did not intend for any harm to come to you, boy. The fact is, my best was not good enough to stop that harm, said Lynn. I'm a parish priest. I would have, should have stayed. I should have stayed one. It was a quite a conspiracy. I'm not quite sure why the Catholic priests and the people that are in the higher ups are not being charged with conspiracy, because it certainly seems like a conspiracy, does it not? So it's kind of strange to me. Democrats reluctant to talk gun control. Colorado officials report more requests for background checks for weapons purchases, but nobody's talking about it. Now, here's a kind of a weird story. Archaeologists have found a skeleton buried inside the Santa Orsola Monastery in Florence, Italy, that could belong to Lisa Gherardini, the first model of Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa painting. Gherardini was the wife of a silk merchant called Francesco del Giocondo, who commissioned Leonardo to paint a portrait of his wife, according to art historians. Gherardini died at the San Orsola convent in 1542. I can tell you she looks a lot better in the painting than she does here. But anyway, how are they going to figure that out? Somehow, maybe. I don't know. How they do all these things. I'm not sure. But they're going to see what they can do. All right. I have Anderson Cooper and the Ridiculist on tap.
Time now for the Ridiculous, and tonight, finally, a solution to a problem that has plagued political campaigns over and over. It happens all the time. Politicians use a song at their campaign rallies, or maybe in an ad. The musicians ask them to stop using their work without permission. Sometimes it ends up in court. There is at least one man, one very motivated, very prolific idea man, who has a solution. He has taken it upon himself to compose a campaign song for Mitt Romney. Let's take a listen, shall we?
World War III. That's Obama's plan for you and me. That's why I'm voting for Mitt Romney. He's a hero in my mind.
Yes, our old friend William Tapley is back. You remember William Tapley, Bill, to you and me? YouTube video poster extraordinaire, but you probably remember him by his other name. Here's a few of them.
I'm your host, William Tapley. Also known as the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse and the co-prophet of the end times.
Who is the other prophet of the end times if he's the co-prophet? Anyway, just on the off chance that you are unfamiliar with the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse, the co-prophet of the end times, here's a small sampling of some of his previous work.
You will not be raptured if you are using condoms. The topic of this program is why a woman should not be president of the United States. The news media is demonic. World War III, don't blame me. Pour some water, food, and fuel immediately.
He's a Renaissance man, there's no doubt about it. So when I heard that the co-prophet of the end times had a new video and a new song, I gotta say, I was just happy to hear that he seems to be branching out from what we all know is his favorite topic. He and I actually went back and forth about this for a period of time last summer. That topic being, of course, how, in his mind, the Denver International Airport is chock full of phallic symbols.
The bird standing upright is phallic. The shape of the sign is phallic. And even the name is phallic. Many of the shapes on the horse's tail and mane are phallic shapes. Well, these sure look like phallic symbols to me. I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Cooper? Maybe you think they're ice cream cones. The outdoor baggage handling area is in the shape of a phallus. Let's take a closer look. Up here we see the testicle area. And out here, the phallus. What do you suppose this street name is that runs right down the center? You guessed it. That's Pena Boulevard.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out on a limb on this one, and I'm going to guess the Romney campaign is not going to be interested in the song stylings of the Third Eagle of the Apocalypse. I haven't called him or anything on this. I'm just guessing. But he will always soar to great heights right here on The Ridiculous.
And the world gone mad. The world gone completely mad. There's one of the mad ones right there. And because you're always been wondering this stuff, because they always keep printing it, so we must wonder about it. I didn't know I did, but I guess I do. And half of high school students say they've had sex, yet progress has stalled in getting them to use condoms to protect against AIDS virus, government researchers found out. Today, 4 in 10 new HIV infections occur in people younger than 30. It goes on. The Obama administration's new plan to grant temporary work permits to many young illegal immigrants who's otherwise could be deported may cost more than $585 million and require 100 of new federal employees to process more than 1 million anticipated requests. And British prosecutors brought criminal charges Tuesday against eight of the most prominent figures in the Rupert Murdoch phone hacking scandal. One of the charges charged one of those, a whole bunch of people. Others who were now Rupert Murdoch's also being investigated. Oh, by the way, they went, you know, the expedition they formed cost $2 million. This is not chicken feed. It cost $2 million to see if they could go find Amelia Earhart, you know, this expedition. And let me see what they're called again. They're called the International Group of Historic Aircraft Recovery. They spent $2 million. They had this theory that she landed on this island, and they went there, and they were wrong. They didn't find anything. So now they're on their way back, and they're disappointed that they didn't find anything. So I don't know what the next theory is going to be. That's a big ocean out there, you know. But anyway, that's what they're going to do. All right. Al-Qaeda makes a move into Syria. Evidence is mounting that Al-Qaeda and other Islamic extremists are doing their best to hijack the Syrian revolution with a growing, although still limited, success that has U.S. intelligence officials publicly concerned, Iraqi officials next door openly alarmed. While leaders of the Syrian political and military opposition continue to deny any role for the extremist Al-Qaeda has helped to change the nature of the conflict, injecting the weapon they perfect in Iraq, suicide bombings, and the battle against President Bashar Assad with growing frequency. So it's all bad. But this isn't. Let's go. Here's another place for lunch.
Greetings, fellow travelers. This is the good doctor for the Long Real Cafe. You know, just because we down home don't mean we ain't worldwide. Our new website is up and it's shining like a new dime. And I got a message for all you loyal Facebook fans out there. You all is freaks. Heck, I think I ought to change the name to Freakbook. Now, don't get me wrong. Please keep those posts and photos are coming in. Yes, especially the photos. Oh, I almost forgot. Text the word Gator right now to 64636 and get a free Cajun breakfast from the Balkan Field Cafe. That's right. An authentic home-style Cajun breakfast complete with red beans and creamy grits, topped with two poached eggs and zesty holiday sauce, all served up in a warm iron skillet with a buttermilk biscuit on the side for sopping. Wait a minute. We're still talking about food here, right? Just text the word Gator to 64636. There may be no more free lunch, but there's free breakfast today at the Bonton Creole Cafe on Facebook and on the web at BontonCreoleCafe.com, and always cooking at 1,000 Black and Dollar Street, San Louisiana.
And the award goes to Chip Farkas.
Well, I don't know what to say. First, I have to thank Dr. Phillips and everyone at Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo. They're the ones that gave me this million-dollar smile. You know, aesthetic reconstruction and even implants can be scary, but knowing I had the prestigious Dr. Phillips on my team, well, let's just say there was no more fear. How can you not be confident when the doctor that teaches the other doctors the Swiss implant style is doing the work? But I guess the real kicker was hearing others talk so highly about the work at Swiss Dental Center, online at SwissDentalCenter.com. And they even gave a complimentary consultation right after I called 541-1004. So to Dr. Phillips and everyone at Swiss Dental Center, I say thank you.
Chip, Dr. Phillips will be in a second. Ready to get your million-dollar smile?
You bet. I have an award to pick up.
Breaking up is so very hard to do. If you really love him, there's nothing I can do. Don't try to spare my feelings. Just tell me that we're through. And make it. Yeah.
is so very hard to do. And if the way I hold you can't compare to his grace, no words of consolation will make me miss you less.
Victim. Veronica Moser Sullivan was just 6 years old, a vibrant little girl with obviously her whole life ahead of her. She just learned to swim. That horrible night at the movie theater, the night Veronica was killed and her mother was critically injured, a 13-year-old girl named Kaylin, Veronica's babysitter, desperately tried to save the little girl's life. At just 13 years old, Kaylin showed tremendous courage even though she thought she herself was going to die. Patty Harlow has her story.
So we just put Kaylin into your hands, Lord, into your loving, merciful, healing hands.
Prayers for 13-year-old Kaylin, a survivor.
He just kept firing, and then he'd stop like he was reloading, and he kept firing at anyone he saw. I thought I was going to die.
You thought you were going to die?
I've never had that feeling before in my life, and it's the scariest feeling to think that you're going to die.
Kaylin watched as three people with her at the Batman screening were shot, including the six-year-old girl she regularly babysat, Veronica Moser Sullivan.
I felt like it was partly my job to protect her. And even if I wasn't her babysitter, I would still feel that same because she was just a child.
Lying on the theater floor, she called 911.
I put my hand on Veronica's rib cage. See if she was breathing, but she wasn't breathing, so I started freaking out. And then they told me to do CPR, and I told them I couldn't because her mother was on top of her and couldn't move.
Veronica's mother, Ashley, was shot in the neck and abdomen. She lived. Veronica did not.
She went to draw, and she liked to look at the, I had a bunny, well, I have a bunny in my room, and she always liked to look at the bunny.
Her pastor calls her a girl with a servant's heart.
She's the type of kid that would come in a room and see, what can I do to help? You know, how can I give of myself? And you know, that young kid, that really can't be taught.
How has this changed your life?
There are certain things I can't, like, hear, or certain things I can't look at, or certain things that I can't do, or even wear.
Like what?
Like the clothes that I wore that night. I don't want to put those on again. Talking sounds. Or, like, banging if it sounds a certain way. And I can't really look at popcorn.
I know you want to say something to Ashley, the mother of Veronica, the little girl you tried to help.
All I want right now is to go visit Ashley.
Kaylin may not have been physically wounded, but she still bears the scars. Poppy Harlow, CNN, Aurora, Colorado.
There's just so many of them, I guess.
All right, let's find out what else is happening today. Raiders are ready for the first camp without Davis. The uniforms are the same, familiar silver and black. The Oakland Raiders have worn for decades. Roster contains the fastest collection of players in the NFL. And the offense features a quarterback who wants to throw the ball deep. Davis isn't there, but that's still going to be fine, the Raiders. And so, behind Carson Palmer. And then USC has been picked to win the Pac-12 title. Trojans are picked to beat three-time defending champ Oregon in a championship game. We'll see. U.S. still too good for Spain. Spain, of course, won the last Olympics, but the U.S. team is they have these boneyard games, and they just trounce the whole thing. And it says, and I had a story in the CBS News that, even though the penalties that have been imposed on Penn State, it hasn't died. You know, there's still a lot of players, 30 players are still going to stay. So they can play in a regular season game, but if they make the playoffs, they're not going to be in the playoffs. And the Giants squeak past the Padres late and keep the Dodgers 2 games back. Other than that, we're all happy. The Dodgers, by the way, are on tomorrow at, I think, 10:30. So I shan't be here, but the Dodgers will be tomorrow. They're on duty. Please win. They're going to throw me out of here. Please win. All right, other things that are happening. Today at the California Mid-State Fair, we have from 5 and 7:30, so 3, 5, and 7:30. They got the mountain busting again. 2 p.m. Barrel Racing in the Equestrian Center, 5 p.m. Artistry in Motion in the Headliner Stage, 5 p.m. Replacement Heifer Show in the Livestock Pavilion, 6 p.m. Walmart Junior Fashion Show, Paso Pete's Ponderosa Stage, 6:30 and 8:30, Debbie Dean in the Frontier Stage, 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. Piano Madness in Mission Square, 7 p.m. Acoustified at the Headliner Stage, 7:30 Brad Paisley with the band Perry and Easton Corbin Main Grandstand Stage, and then 9 p.m. KJAG has a bar and dance game. So go to the barn now. Do it, son. All right, regulation on mural removal underway. Ian Funky Blue got involved in it because now he's saying, it may not be constitutional to tell people that they can't express the freedom of speech by putting stuff on their wall. So now they're going to have to review this and see what's going on because, in the middle of a tree, the mural tree thing. I wish they asked Mike to paint a picture in because he's really good at it. If you go by Ben Franklin's, look at the new signage. Mike just finished that. He just finished it. He did a darn good job. Well, that Royal Greenie got those surveillance cameras, and of course everybody's thinking, well, do we need these? Is this really necessary and all that? Apparently somebody didn't know that they got them. Because the surveillance camera caught a Santa Maria man suspected of stealing high-priced jewelry from a downtown shop. Frederick Terry is accused of smashing the window of the antique mart on East Branch Street in the village and stealing two jewelry display cases about 2:50 on Thursday, according to the Royal Grand Police Department. This is in the morning. Terry's already being held in Santa Barbara County Jail in an unrelated case. The Royal Grand Police said they plan to seek felony charges against him. They said Terry was caught on camera leaving the crime scene on a bicycle, dropping jewelry along the way. Hansel and Gretel, but this didn't work out well for him. And the San Luis Obispo County Health Department has closed the beach between Silver Shoals Drive and Indio Drive in Shell Beach due to a sewage spill on Tuesday morning at 6:15. About 600 gallons of sewage spilled from the city of Pismo Beach's Sunset Palisades lift along Indio Drive. Luckily, Nancy and I were there Monday. We went down that Monday. And we went to, we had a margarita, $3 margarita, by the way, at Alice's Barbecue. And then we went next door and had a $2 taco at Soros. That was our anniversary dinner. I liked it. I had a good time. We had a good time. We liked it. All right. There's still time to enter the local races, according to Tribune. Holding elected office is hard work, but strong leadership is always needed. You've got to have a strong leadership. And so here you are right here.
Councilman Andrew Carter's withdrawal from the San Luis Obispo mayor's race for personal and financial reasons is understandable but disappointing nonetheless. Carter is smart, experienced, and more qualified, and we like his strong emphasis on the need to control city spending. We look forward to a robust debate between him and the incumbent we looked forward to, him and Mayor Jan Marks. His withdrawal from the race creates a definite void, and we urge others with relevant experience, such as the background of municipal government or prior political experience. Is that what we really want? I'm not sure that's what we really want. That's what the Tribune says they want, but I'm not so sure. I think, you know, maybe some new blood would be good. There's somebody who hasn't been in politics. Maybe start over with that. This is a thought. It's just a thought, of course.
Two sisters in Ocala, Florida, left a one-year-old child behind after they were apparently, or allegedly, busted for shoplifting. Surveillance tape caught them running for their car, but leaving the baby. Hello? Police say that the mom never came back for him. It's one of the sisters, apparently. The women were arrested the following night, partying at the nightclub, without the baby.
Once they were approached, you can see on video clearly that the one girl, the actual caretaker of the child, takes off running.
When the loss prevention officer asked her, are you going to come and get your child? She said, it's not my child, it's not my child, and she continued to leave, and then they both abandoned the baby.
Take the stuff, leave the baby. Huh. Police say that they only got away with $57 worth of clothes.
Well, I didn't have a screaming kid in the car when they took off anyway, so that's it right there. Strange tales you hear about. Let's see what else is in the Tribune today. Let's see what else they have to say. So they say it would be reprehensible to anybody in Syria to confront use of such weapons of mass destruction like chemical weapons. I sincerely hope the international community will keep an eye on this so that there will be no such thing happening, said the U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon after Syria said, well, we might. Wow. Okay. Dan Walters, writing from Sacramento, said Prop 32 will test California voters. Warring factions will spend untold millions of dollars on political propaganda to sway California voters on Prop 32 this year. Twice before, in 68 and 69, voters rejected measures that would restrict unions from collecting political funds by a payroll deduction, so backers came up with a new wrinkle in 2012. It's not all that wrinkly, it's just another way going about it. All right. One of the minions who Ann Romney views as all you people, in terms of what people need to know about Mitt Romney's tax returns. Yes, the Republican Party is perceived to be out of touch with Joe Josephine average American, according to Forbes. Mitt is worth an estimated $230 million, having upon a fun little online calculator that would determine just how long it would take old Mitt to earn what my family makes in a year. I discovered that in earning approximately $20 million per year, it takes Mitt a single day plus 10 hours, 23 minutes, and 28 seconds to earn what my family lives on a year. And we're lucky that we bring in significantly more than the $45,000 on average American family makes in a year. Add that to the grand pronouncement of other things in this campaign that made me wonder. Ah, well, the guy's got dough. The guy's got dough. It's plenty. Okay. Now, this is not surprising. It's discomforting, for sure, but it's not surprising that when people end up homeless, so do the animals that they had. So this is really kind of a problem they're having. So there's a new outfit called Lost Our Home Pet Foundation, and they're trying to get people to adopt these animals. In Arizona, which bumped Nevada from the top of the foreclosure rankings in March, the Lost Our Home Pet Foundation in Phoenix did similar work. Found in 2008, it also relies primarily on fosters, although it did open a small shelter in April. About 40 animals are in the shelter and 220 in foster care. More than 2,000 have been placed in 4 years, said the foundation and the executive director. So they're doing what they can. They're just trying to do what they can. That's all they can do. Apple revealed Tuesday that both revenue and net income posted increases of just over 20%, cause for celebration in most companies, but meager by Apple standards. But I think they're still pretty happy about it, to tell you the truth. I don't think they're upset about the fact that they came up with that much money. I'm almost sure of that. Here's a different idea here. I just never knew. Goodyear is testing tires made with soybean oils. It tries to cut its use of petroleum and extend tread life. And it said Tuesday that researchers have found that the tread of tires made partially with soybean oil can last 10% longer than current tires. The soybean oil, which comes from a renewable resource, can cut Goodyear's use of petroleum by up to 7 million gallons per year, the company said. Holy cow. I mean, if you're hungry, you can eat part of the tire. Which is convenient. Marble maker Altria Group said Tuesday that its net income nearly tripled in the second quarter as higher prices helped offset flat cigarette volume compared with a year ago when results were depressed by a big charge. And again, you have to remember that the Asian markets and some of these European markets are huge for the cigarette people. America, not so much anymore. Other places, huge. Netflix second quarter earnings plunged 91% as it signed up fewer subscribers. Netflix shares plunged 14% after the results were released. 91%. Holy dump truck. All right. State default notices dropped to 07 levels. Latest numbers indicate the California housing market may be starting to make a comeback, hopefully. And I say the home values posted their first year increase since 2007, the second quarter. The value index rose to 149,300, a 0.2% increase, which isn't huge, of course. It's not huge, but it's better than going the other direction, as you know. So it's something. It's not huge, but something nonetheless. So we're happy about that. And here, this is, I don't think this is very surprising to anybody either. Trust in the trust in financial system and banks is at an all-time low. The survey shows that just 15% trust the stock market, while trust for big banks that operate nationally is less than 25%. So people are not happy with this whole financial outfit that's going on. Doesn't matter what it is. Anyway, that's where I thought that was kind of interesting, to tell you the truth. All right. Now there was one something I want to share with you. Let me find it here real quick. Let me just find it real quick. Oh, here's the story. I forgot to show the story. Let's see if we have time to go. I have no idea what that. I'm sorry, I betrayed your trust on that. I have no idea what they're doing there. They're blowing up a watermelon. This is making the music better. Let's get to our cannibalistic bugs.
Why do you do what you do?
Why do you put in the work?
You do what you do because it matters.
Because it's important.
Little things.
Big things.
Little things that add up to big things.
At HP, things that matter to you
matter to us.
We don't just believe in the power of technology. We believe in the power of people when technology works for them.
To do the things that matter.
If you're going to do something, make it matter.
People have been interested in human behavior for a long time. In the last sort of 10 years, 5 or 10 years, there's just been an explosion of interest.
My work is on collective animal behavior. So what we see here are schools of fish and shortly see flocks of birds. And what's fascinated me ever since I was a kid is how and why animals coordinate their behavior in this way. And so we develop computer simulations, as shown here, where we can show in actual facts where people used to think this was driven by telepathy or thoughts transference, what we now know it's driven by relatively local interactions among the individuals.
It's actually this emotion, this fluid-like nature of these groups that allows them to so effectively make decisions, come to consensus. And so there's really a balance between what we call distributed control, which gives this system a lot of robustness. You know, no individual is absolutely essential. And then also this ability for hierarchies to spontaneously emerge within groups. I had the opportunity to go to Mauritania, to the desert locus that we were studying, and invade up to one-fifth of the Earth's land surface during plague years. So what we find was sort of a rule set underlies these locusts. That told us, you know, about this alignment which leads to these huge devastating storms, where we just discovered by accident that the locusts were trying to eat each other. So when, you know, it looks like a cooperative swarm, but in actual fact it's a selfish sort of cannibalistic horde. Everyone is trying to eat everyone else and trying to avoid being eaten. The outcome is you run away from those coming towards you, and you run towards those going away from you, and then this leads to these swarms moving across these desert environments. So we use a variety of technologies. Computer vision has been very important to us. So this is where we program a computer to sort of see the world for us. That's how we first got involved in this. And so we've modified this software over the years with the advent of Microsoft Kinect, which is a tool for the Xbox that allows you to interact with your video games. This gives you much more sort of a richer data set for looking at these types of behaviors. The reason this is important is we can now build better computational models and predictive models of where and when swarms may break out. And so that can be very helpful for control measures.
Why do you do what you do?
Why do you put in the work?
You do what you do because it matters.
Because it's important.
Little things.
Big things.
Little things that add up to big things.
At HP, things that matter to you
matter to us.
We don't just believe in the power of technology. We believe in the power of people. Technology works with them.
So do the things that matter.
If you're going to do something, make it matter.
A lot of people thought Avatar was not so uncanny. But if you notice, the Avatar characters had human-like form with deviations from it. Get really close to the human form, our brains start expecting a lot from you. Adding that blueness helps them to not fall into the uncanny valley. This is what I think anyway. My name is Aisha Zeigen. I'm a professor at UC San Diego in the Cognitive Science Department and Neurosciences Program. We have this data set of robots that we've started to explore the uncanny valley with. We told everybody, this is a robot, this is a robot, this is a human, now watch them. And they're either lying in the MRI scanner or they're wearing an EEG tablet to record electrical activity of the brain.
It's blinking, right?
The idea is that if you make a robot or an animation more and more human-like, you don't have a linear relationship where people respond to it better when you make it more human-like. Instead, if you make it more human-like, people respond to it positively, and then at some point, increasing human-likeness causes this negative reaction, which is called the valley. And you may have felt this with some movies, like Polar Express, for instance, or people fell into the uncanny valley, where it's kind of zombie-like or creepy and disturbing to people.
This is the Polar Express!
And then if you surpass the uncanny valley, you have a real human, which doesn't creep you out. This is still a hypothesis. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence for it, and some experiments, but we haven't really characterized what this valley looks like. One big problem for us as scientists about the uncanny valley is that there is no way to measure it. So we don't really know what to ask people. Why not just ask their brains to respond and learn from the brain responses what the uncanny looks like?
Okay, so we have Dodgers at St. Louis at 10:15 tomorrow, so have yourself a great Dodger day, and we'll be together again on Friday. Until then, may all your trails be happy ones, and we'll believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you.
until we meet again. Happy trails.